So that's the sort of groundwork. Next question would be how to begin then. Well, the Brahmavihara practices have a given form, which involves bringing to mind a succession of people whom you know, actual people whom you actually know. Friends, enemies, people that you see regularly but you really don't know much about. In one of the practices we bring to mind someone we know who's currently experiencing suffering in their life. In one of them we bring to mind someone who's currently experiencing joy in their life. So that's the general form of the practices. And then it's quite simple really. We just try to practice generosity of heart and mind to that spectrum of humanity of our acquaintance, and then in our imagination extend that spectrum to include all beings and all situations. So you could say that the Brahmaviharas exhort us to first of all notice what we feel when we bring someone to mind, and then extend the spectrum of feeling over which we can respond with kindness. So this, of course, is where our likes and dislikes come in, and the need to overcome them. Say we bring to mind a friend. Okay, so recollecting a friend, on all likelihood, more often than not, is going to produce a pleasant feeling. That's what the definition of a friend is. We like them. Produces a pleasant feeling, and it's probably not too hard to feel friendliness and appreciation in response to that. Okay. Recollection of an enemy produces an unpleasant feeling, and dislike of that unpleasant feeling tends to come in, and we want to go. All the scenarios that happen between us and that person come to mind. And suddenly we remember in great detail all the previous ones, right in that moment, and we want to go, not going there. So it produces unpleasant feeling when we recollect an enemy, but the aim is still to respond with the same sort of kindness and friendliness. And if not appreciation exactly, then at least some patience and some understanding. So when we bring to mind an enemy in these practices, and then I'll say to you, respond with, see if you can, you know, respond with kindliness. It doesn't mean pretend if it's the enemy. It doesn't mean pretending that everything that goes on between me and them isn't important or isn't really like that. It's not about seeing them through rose-tinted spectacles. It's about really taking on board that this person creates an unpleasant experience in us. It may be as strong as fear sometimes, or anger. It might be milder than that, but whatever it is, it's not pleasant. So we're certainly not trying to ignore that. We're actually trying to feel it quite, you know, cleanly, but then not do the usual, which is to go like that, or to go into all sorts of scenarios about who's right and who's wrong and who said what when. Under that narrative. We don't want to go into the narrative. We just want to stay with ourselves in the moment, notice the unpleasant feeling, and then try and respond to that differently. That's the challenge with the enemy stage. Recollecting someone about whom we know very little, because we do that in these practices as well. So, see, now I think that's intriguing. That's intriguing when we try that. Because in this case, I think you need to get under the surface of, you know, disinterest or unconcern, because someone that we see but really, you know, don't know hardly at all. So you have to get under the surface somewhere, and we do that by trying to see the underlying humanity of the person, which is of course the same as our own underlying humanity. So that's the point of connection, but it's not based on actually knowing much about them in the way that it is with the friend and the enemy. It's about trying to get underneath the surface to what we have in common. So recollecting a neutral person, in a sense, opens us up to the whole of humanity. One person, because the whole of humanity is going to come in, most of humanity, if we think about them, are going to come into the category of neutral people. Or not even that, because we don't even know them. We could imagine, you know, we could imagine them. We see TV, we see newspapers and everything, we read books. But most of humanity comes into that category of the neutral person, third stage in the metta-bhava. But so if you can open up to one neutral person, in principle you could open up to the rest of humanity with a bit of imaginative connection. So not only do we open up to them in that way, also we're opening up to ourselves more deeply, less superficially, and less independence upon likes and dislikes. Because with neutral person there isn't much in terms of like and dislike that's there. That's one of the great advantages of doing that person. And so that neutral person was actually, I think it's very intriguing and important, and it feeds back into the other stages of the practice, because we're not really having to tussle much with like and dislike in it. We're trying to do something a bit different in that one.